Let's turn, please, to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12 and those few verses from verse 38 down to verse 41. And in the verse 41 of Matthew 12, the Lord Jesus said, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here." Let's just seek the Lord together in prayer as we come to consider his word tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that the Lord Jesus, even as he walked upon this scene of time, could speak about Jonah as a real person. Jonah, that person who was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights. We thank thee he could point to that experience as even typifying the fact that he would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. We thank thee he could say of himself, "Behold, a greater than Jonah is here." And we thank thee that in our midst tonight, we have that one who is greater than Jonah. We thank thee that tonight we can claim the promise that where the two or three are gathered together in the name of Christ, that he will be in the midst. May we be conscious that thou art in our midst this very moment tonight. Come now and help in the preaching and in the hearing of thy word. We thank thee thy word is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And we pray that by your Spirit tonight you would apply your word to every heart as thou dost see the need. And so, Lord, I pray that thou will fill me afresh with thy Spirit. Speak to me. Speak through me tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. "Master, we would see a sign from thee." This was the request of the scribes and Pharisees on this occasion as they came to the Lord Jesus. That word "sign," of course, in other parts of the New Testament is translated by the word "miracle." They were looking for a miracle that would be a sign to prove that Jesus Christ was who he said he was, the promised Savior, the promised Messiah. The Lord Jesus had already performed those miracles and signs, and these scribes and Pharisees had seen them. They had no reason to ask for another sign. The Lord Jesus had already proved that he was the promised Messiah. In this very chapter of Matthew 12, if you look back to the verse 22, it tells us, "Then was brought unto him one possessed with a devil, blind and dumb. And he," that is the Lord Jesus, "healed him, insomuch that the blind and dumb both spake and saw." These scribes and Pharisees had witnessed this miracle, yet they still did not want to believe that Jesus was the promised Savior. In the previous chapter, chapter 11, the verses 2 to 5, we read of John the Baptist being in prison. And as John the Baptist was in the prison there in chapter 11, verse 2, he heard in the prison of the works of Christ. And he sent two of his disciples. There was a time, just a brief time of doubting in his heart. And he sent them with the question in chapter 11, verse 3, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Are you really the promised Messiah? Or should we look for another?" And the Lord Jesus answered in verse 4, "Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear," and so on. What was the Lord Jesus saying? "These miracles that I am performing are proof that I am the promised Savior, the promised Messiah." We come back in chapter 12 to those scribes and Pharisees. They, of course, did not want to believe that Christ was the promised Savior. They therefore kept coming with these requests, show us another sign. They didn't believe the signs the Lord Jesus had already shown and performed. And so the answer of the Lord Jesus in verse 39 of Matthew 12 to this request of the scribes and Pharisees was this: an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. What was the Lord Jesus saying? Oh, he was saying, I've already performed these miracles, these signs that prove that I am the Messiah. But there will be another sign, another great miracle that will prove beyond doubt that I am the promised Savior. Just as Jonah. And of course, those scribes and Pharisees, they were familiar with the Old Testament. They would have known about Jonah and how he had been 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale. And the Lord Jesus was saying, just as Jonah had that experience, I'm going to be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. In other words, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. And my resurrection from the dead will be the greatest sign and the greatest miracle to prove that I am who I claim to be, that I'm the promised Savior. I'm the one who will lay down my life, but I will take it up again. And of course, you will remember in Romans chapter 1 how we are told there that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus from the dead proved beyond doubt who he was. Listen to Romans chapter 1 and the verses 3 and 4 concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Back here in Matthew chapter 12, the Lord Jesus also said to those same scribes and Pharisees who would not believe in him, despite the signs they had already seen, he said to them in verse 41, the men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation, this unbelieving generation, and shall condemn it. Because they, the men of Nineveh, they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, speaking of himself, the Lord Jesus said, behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And tonight I want us to consider some of the ways in which the Lord Jesus was greater than Jonah, and of course still is greater than Jonah. And I want you to realize tonight that if you're not saved, that you too will be condemned on the judgment day. If you go on unsaved and out of Christ, if you will not take what the Scripture says about the Lord Jesus as the only Savior, if you will not repent of your sin, if you will not trust him as your Savior, you will be condemned on the judgment day. How then was the Lord Jesus greater than Jonah? In many ways, in every way we could say, but particularly we can say that the Lord Jesus was greater than Jonah in his obedience to God. The Lord Jesus is here in Matthew 12 referring to certain aspects of Jonah's experience. But he speaks there in verse 39 of Matthew 12 about the sign of the prophet Jonah. And we read tonight that familiar passage in Jonah chapter 1, where Jonah, as God's prophet, received a commission from God to go to the city of Nineveh and to declare God's message to that city, a message of judgment. Because their sin had come up before God. Their wickedness had been such that the time had come when God was sending his servant to declare a message of judgment to that people. And we know that when God commanded Jonah to go, God expected obedience from Jonah. God expected Jonah to go. Yes, we know God knew he would disobey, but God required obedience of Jonah as a prophet. And yet Jonah disobeyed at first. And he went in a different direction. He got on that ship that was going in not the direction God wanted him to go, but a different direction. And he went with a desire, when we read Jonah chapter 1, to flee from the presence of the Lord. He then was a disobedient prophet. And yes, God dealt with him. God chastened him. And God gave him a second opportunity when he did go obediently to Nineveh. And when we think of Jonah's obedience, he began with disobedience and through chastening was brought onto the path of obedience again. Well, then we can certainly say that Jesus Christ is greater than Jonah. Jonah was a prophet. But you know, all the prophets pointed to the one who would come as a perfect prophet, the Lord Jesus himself. In Acts chapter 10 and the verse 43, as the apostle Peter was preaching, this is what he said concerning the Lord Jesus in Acts 10 and verse 43. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sin. To Christ give all the prophets witness, including Jonah. And of course, when we think of the Lord Jesus as that perfect prophet, he was perfectly obedient when he was sent into this world by his heavenly Father. He was obedient in every area of his life. He could testify again and again through his ministry that he came to do the will of his Father who had sent him. And of course, when Paul was writing to the church at Philippi, he tells us that the Lord Jesus was obedient even unto death, even unto the death of the cross. And the perfect obedience of the Lord Jesus was necessary for the salvation of sinners. In Romans chapter 5, the apostle Paul draws a contrast between the disobedience of Adam and the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 5 and the verse 19, that contrast is set before us. And this is what we read in Romans 5 and the verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, that was Adam's disobedience, Adam, the representative of the human race, as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. We've all been born as sinners because of Adam's disobedience. So, by the obedience of one, that's Jesus Christ, shall many be made righteous. The only way that we as sinners can be declared righteous before a holy God is when the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ is put over to our accounts, received by faith alone, by the obedience of one. It was necessary that the Lord Jesus be perfectly obedient, and of course he was. He was the perfectly obedient one. And so there's no doubt that the Lord Jesus was greater than Jonah in his obedience to God, in his obedience to his heavenly Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, not my will, but thine be done. And when we think of ourselves tonight as sinners, by nature, we are like Jonah, we are disobedient. We're disobedient to God's holy law. God says, thou shalt, and we do not. God says, thou shalt not, and we do. We are disobedient by nature, and yet we are called as sinners to be obedient. We are called to obey the call of the gospel. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. The Lord Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. And as long as we go on unrepentant, unconverted, and that's you tonight, you're disobedient. And your disobedience will take you to a lost eternity. When Paul was writing to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians 1, in the verse 8, he wrote of that day when Jesus Christ will return. And he wrote in that verse, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and listen to it, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not turn from your sin and by faith receive Christ as Savior, well then you are one that has not obeyed the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that will bring condemnation to you. That will bring everlasting punishment to you. Unless you obey the call of the gospel. Tonight, let me ask you, have you obeyed the call of the gospel? When Paul was writing to the Romans in Romans 16 and 26, he wrote about the obedience of faith. God not only commands all men everywhere to repent, there's also the obedience of faith. Turning from sin, placing your faith in Christ alone for salvation. And for forgiveness. Can you say tonight, by God's grace, I've obeyed the call of the gospel? If you can't, tonight will you not come? Call on the Lord for salvation. Turn aside, turn away from your sin. Trust in Christ alone, what he has done for salvation. We think of these words again, the Lord Jesus saying, behold, a greater than Jonah is here. He was not only greater than Jonah in his obedience to God, he was greater than Jonah in his suffering for sin. When the Lord Jesus said here in Matthew 12, and the verse 40, for as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, what was it that brought Jonah to that place where he was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly? It was a sin. He had to suffer the consequences of his sin. And you think again of what we read there in Jonah chapter 1. Jonah, in disobedience to God, he got on that ship going to Tarshish. He got down into the sides of the ship and he fell asleep. But as Jonah travelled on that ship, God sent that which caused Jonah to suffer consequences for his sin. God sent the wind. God sent the great tempest. So that all who were on that ship on which Jonah was travelling, suddenly their lives were in danger. And of course, those heathen sailors began to call on their false gods. They cast the lots. They determined to find out, somebody on this ship has done something that is causing all that is happening. And of course, eventually they had to throw Jonah overboard. And all this was Jonah suffering for a sin. God, of course, prepared the great fish to swallow Jonah. And as you read down Jonah chapter 2, you will read a little of the experience of Jonah as he suffered for his sins. You will read, for example, in Jonah chapter 2, how he said, all the billows, all thy billows and waves pass over me. He felt cast out of God's sight, he said in chapter 2, verse 4. He talked about the depth closing round about him. It must have been a terrible experience. We can only begin to imagine what it must have been like. But he was suffering the consequences of his sin. Suffering the consequence of his disobedience. But you know, we can therefore say about the Lord Jesus, he was greater than Jonah in his suffering for sin. Jonah suffered certain consequences for his own sins. But the Lord Jesus, he had no sins of his own to suffer for. And yet he suffered for our sins. He suffered for the sins of his people. He never thought a sinful thought. He never spoke a sinful word. He never committed a sinful action. Yet he suffered for the sins of many. He suffered as the great sacrifice for sin. He endured the wrath of God in his very soul as he hung on that cross. Oh yes, he suffered in his body, but he suffered in his soul. The wrath of God for the sins of his people. Peter declared in 1 Peter chapter 3 and the verse 18 that he suffered as the just for the unjust that he might bring us to God. Think of Jonah. He suffered because he was disobedient. He didn't want to take God's message to the enemies of Israel. And yet Jesus Christ suffered for the sins of those who were by nature his enemies. That we might be saved. That we might be forgiven. You know, tonight, if you're not saved, either Christ suffered for your sins on the cross of Calvary and you turn from sin and you trust him as Savior, or else you live and die in your sin and you suffer forever the wrath of God for your sins. There's no in between. It's one or the other. Jesus Christ then was greater than Jonah in his obedience to God, in his suffering for sin. But he was also greater than Jonah in his resurrection from the dead. Is that not particularly what the Lord Jesus here in Matthew 12 and these verses focuses in upon? Oh yes, he says in Matthew 12 verse 38, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. What was that say? Verse 40. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. And the emphasis is on the fact, well, Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly. And then he was brought out again. And therefore the emphasis is that the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. He will die. But he will rise again from the dead. What a sign that was that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, the promised Savior. Death could not hold him. In Acts chapter 2, when the Apostle Peter was preaching on the day of Pentecost, this is what he said in Acts 2 and the verse 24. Speaking of Christ, well, verse 23 and 24. He says of Christ, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, verse 24, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because, listen to it, it was not possible that he should be held of it. It was not possible that death should hold the Lord Jesus for any longer than it did. You see, only a risen Savior can save sinners. Romans chapter 4, in the verses 24 and 25, we read these words concerning the Lord Jesus. Well, verse 23, 24, and 25, Paul writes this concerning Christ. Now it was not written for his sake alone, that is for Abraham's sake alone, that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Listen to verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses? He was delivered to the death of the cross for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. It wasn't enough for the Lord Jesus to die and be buried. He had to rise again. If we were to be justified, if we were to be forgiven. So the Lord Jesus is greater than
Jonah and his resurrection. Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, and then he was vomited out onto the dry ground again. Lord Jesus laid down his life unto death. 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth, and he arose again victorious over death and the grave. What does the resurrection from the dead mean to you? For all who die before Christ returns, the soul goes either to heaven or to hell. But when the Lord Jesus returns, there's going to be a resurrection. John chapter 5, 28 and 29 speaks about that resurrection from the dead. And I wonder tonight, if you die before Christ returns, oh, first of all, where your soul will be. But for you, what will the resurrection be? John chapter 5, verse 28 and 29 says this: "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." Now by nature we have all done evil. And the Lord's not saying it's by your good works that you're going to have a resurrection unto life. And he's speaking there about those that have done good. He's talking about the evidence of salvation. You die out of Christ, it'll be the resurrection unto damnation. Your soul will already be in a lost eternity at death. And then in the resurrection, body and soul will come together again, but it will be to be cast into the lake of fire. The resurrection unto damnation. For those that are saved, justified in Christ, and die in Christ, the soul goes to glory, and then it'll be the resurrection unto life. What will it be for you? Brings us to a final thought. Jonah, or rather the Lord Jesus, was greater than Jonah, yes, in his obedience to God, in his suffering for sin, in his resurrection. But can we not also say that Jesus Christ was greater than Jonah in the message he preached? The Lord Jesus in Matthew 12 and 41 says, "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here." The preaching of Jonah. And if you take the time, of course, no doubt it'll be familiar to you, to read all that book of Jonah. When Jonah went the second time to Nineveh, or rather on the second occasion that God called him to go, when he did go, what was the message that he had to deliver? "Yet 40 days, Nineveh shall be overthrown." It was a message of judgment. There didn't seem to be a ray of hope in the message that Jonah declared. "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." And yet we read of how the people believed God and they turned to him. The king of Nineveh said, "Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn from his fierce anger that we perish not?" They turned from their sin. And God spared them, even though the message just seemed to be a message of judgment. Surely then we can say the Lord Jesus was greater in the message he preached. Oh yes, he preached about judgment. He said, "Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." But he also said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I'll give you rest for the soul. He called people to repent and believe the gospel. The people who lived in that generation when the Lord Jesus was here upon earth and would not believe that he was who he said he was and would not turn from sin and trust him as Savior, they're going to be condemned on the judgment day. But what about you tonight? In a land where the gospel is proclaimed, in a land where you can have a copy of God's word for yourself, maybe so familiar with the message of the gospel, you could get up and preach it yourself. If you go on in your sin, if you reject the message, if you die unrepentant and out of Christ, what a terrible day the judgment day will be for you. Oh, you'll already in your soul enter into a terrible eternity. But to stand before the Lord on the judgment day, having been so familiar with the gospel message, yet rejected it. Maybe you just say, well, I'm putting it off to another time. It doesn't matter. You're still rejecting. God's word says today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. You not come to the Lord tonight. And of course, for each of us who are saved, let us thank the Lord tonight that we know the one who is greater than Jonah, that we can take the message that he proclaimed to others day by day, that they might even believe and be saved. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts tonight for his name's sake. As we